first thing I'm going to talk about is Mercury retrograde, simply because it is right now. And for those of you that maybe don't know what that means or what the manifestations of it are, when Mercury appears to go retrograde, it doesn't actually go backwards, but from our vantage point on Earth, it appears to go retrograde. And since Mercury rules the brain, communications, electronics, it tends to cause confusion, mistakes, misunderstandings. When Mercury is retrograde, it's not a good time to start anything new. It's a good time to finish up old things. And if you do have to sign something, if you can put it off until after the 15th of January, it'd be better. If you can't put it off, you just have to be triple diligent to make sure that it's very, very clear, because miscommunications run rampant. Machines, anything that has a mechanism, computers, anything can just break down and then start up working fine again after Mercury goes direct. I've had it happen to me. Legal things, computers, mechanics, your brain is also a computer. So you could swear you heard one thing and you didn't, or you could have said something and someone else swears you said something else. So it's just a time to be extra clear. So having said that, we have Ravindar on the line, our speaker for this evening. And the topic is going to be synchronicity and its communication from other realms and dimensions. After she speaks, we will have we're going to take a little poll to see what kind of synchronicity is happening with everyone on the call. And then if you have a topic of any subject that you'd wish to bring up, we're having that open discussion this evening. With that, it's my pleasure and privilege to introduce Ravindar.
Thank you. By the way, Mercury goes direct on January 15th.
Good day.
Yes. I had something very unusual happen, and I typed it up, and I talked to Ariel about it, and she said, well, you know, let's do this for the call, because it's pretty timely about synchronization. I wrote it, so I'm just going to read what I wrote. It's better than trying to explain it from the beginning. January 5th, 2010, when I wrote this, subject, Kim Tebow, Ephesians 2:8-10 Sugar Bowl. Subject, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Since I was a child, I've always heard the phrase, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and throughout my life, I've been a witness to such mysteries. Kim Tebow, a quarterback for University of Florida and a devout Christian, writes on his black glare protectors under his eyes a different Bible scripture each time he plays football. During the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day, playing against the University of Cincinnati, he had written a scripture, Ephesians 2:8-10. Richard Kerr, my childhood friend, encouraged me to look up the scripture in the Big Desk Bible that once belonged to Judge Royce Criswell, my dad. When I picked up this heavy 20-pound book, I turned to the cover page, which said, Altus, Oklahoma, July 10, 1995. This Bible was purchased for $20 when I became a Mason at the age of 21 years. My birth date is 2/18/17. I placed this Bible on my desk when I became county attorney of Jackson County, Oklahoma, in 1947. It was on my desk while I was the first assistant DA at Boise City, Oklahoma, from 67 to 68. Also, while I was the first associate district judge of Jackson County, December 68 to August 86, so 36 and a half years in all, I retired as judge August 1st, 1986. Every human being entering either of the above offices was exposed to this book and its contents. This is a gift to my daughter, Beverly Criswell, son Lois Criswell. My dad passed away on September 25th, 2002, and my mother, Edna Criswell, followed him on November 23rd, 2002, after being married for 67 years. I have not opened this Bible since her passing. When I opened the Bible to Ephesians 2:18, it said, "For by the grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now here's the mysterious part. Right on this very page were six sticky notes written in my dad's handwriting. To preface this, he also owned and raced quarter horses for 25 years, especially after he retired. My parents traveled all over the country and were especially proud of a horse called Old Slam Criswell, who won 9 straight races. And here's the quote from the sticky pages. "Every horse and every person has his or her place in life. Finding one's place is not always easy. By accident, perseverance, love, and determination, I found Old Slim Criswell's place. In Salisaw, he is revered by more people than the mayor and made less than $25,000. It is not how much you make. It is what you make and how you make it. As a result, he made the Criswell name at the end of a horse's name a reason to usually be considered the favorite. Old Red goes off his favorite just because he's Old Slim's brother. And one day he'll win and make Old Slim proud of him. Nobody ever says how much money did he make. It's always how many races did he win and how consistent and how much heart and how fast out of the gate and by how much did he win and how sound he pulled up. The man that trained him last month won his last race, Mr. Moreland, saw me and with tears in his eyes he said, 'You know, I want to thank you for raising Old Slim so that I could train and win with him. He is the best horse I ever trained. This is more precious than gold. Old Red Criswell will be just as lovable and a winner in his own style. This horse has class, and Old Slim made his class and made class for his mother and his daddy and didn't hurt the class of his granddad Dash for cash a bit. Every horseman knows Old Slim, as there are hundreds of winners over $100,000 that nobody remembers. It's where you come from and how you get there and the name you have. That's what counts. I hope Old Red can get his chance and live and run as long as I live and make whatever he can. I lost my diamond Masonic consistory ring, $5,000, but I'm not going to let it bother me too much. I did expect to leave it for you. Such is life. Hope you've done good. Love, Daddy." I seem to recall that he'd lost the ring at the Salisaw racetrack several years ago, and that Mother had said that he was obsessed with finding out who took his ring in the men's bathroom. He wrote letters, he offered a reward, but no rings. Just before he died, he was still talking about that diamond Masonic ring. On the first anniversary of his death, the ring just appeared in his bedroom one day. I couldn't imagine how it had gotten there. I just shrugged it off and put the ring in the bank vault. After reading the scripture passage from Kim's face and seeing this handwritten message on 6 sticky notes on that very page of a family Bible, I became overwhelmed with emotion. And Richard said, "You know, your dad really loved you, and although he didn't always know how to show it, he really did." I also found a copy of my birth certificate folded with these notes. Only 10 days before I saw the scripture on Kim Tebow's case, I had been to the courthouse on December 22nd to pay my taxes and decided to go in and see my dad's portrait, which hangs in the courtroom. As I stood before it, I flashed in my life with this man whose experiences had been both negative and positive. Just as I was turning to leave, I paused and looked back and said, "You know, I found that diamond Masonic ring, but I don't know how much it's worth. What do you think?" And with that, I left to continue on my holiday errands. Now, only a few days later, I'm holding a message from my dad confirming the wealth of the Masonic ring found in his death Bible, on the very page of scripture written under Tim Tebow's eyes. How much more mysterious can you get than this?
Not much more.
Not much more. So I would like to open it up for discussion on what you, your interpretation of what you think this particular message was for me. Anyone?
Well, I'm a part of a Masonic
Who is this topic?
The Rosicrucians. And I know I'm a part of it's a very large male doctor kind of lawyer. Big brown leather chairs and me. And I'll go back to your number theory, that all of those pieces came together at the perfect time, at the perfect place, and that all of it was meant almost like an architect building a pyramid, if you would, for you to reach the apex of that experience.
Is this Linda? Is
no, this is Mary Beth.
Oh, Mary Beth, okay.
And to get the full feeling of the connection of all of it, like a puzzle that there were pieces floating in different dimensions, and all of a sudden there was a string that pulled them all together.
Wow, what a great picture that was, you think. Wow.
You know, so
I thought it was great. Somebody pulled the string.
And really, it was your love. I mean, I think synchronicity is so much more than just thinking of what you want. It's feeling what you want. And so whatever feelings you had reading that from your dad and feeling from the picture and the feeling in your heart from all of it, it was really, that was the string.
Well, you know, when I stood before his portrait, which I had not been to see that portrait, huge portrait, in the courtroom. And when I stood there, I had, you know, it's like, ooh, it engulfed me, you know,
Right.
And I, that must have been when the whole thing just kind of got energized, because, you know, that's when I got energized, and then that's when I said, you know, I found the ring, but I don't know what it's worth, you know? It's like, and all
right.
of a sudden, you know, it's like something went to work to put Ephesians 2:8-10 on Tim Tebow's eyes. And the next thing I know, I'm watching a football game, which I don't do. Okay.
You know, I always wanted a T-shirt that said pay attention, because I think these things happen more than they don't. And I think they happen all the time. And most people, because we're so busy or so preoccupied, don't see them happening enough. But like you say, Ariel said to look at a clock and you see the time. And the numbers have a tendency to catch our eye, but there are all kinds of things happening all the time. The way I met Amy, the way I met a lot of people in my life were what some people would call chance encounters, but I know they're not by chance, as the phone call wasn't.
I agree with you, Pete. Synchronicity happens.
I have a friend named Bonnie that calls it divine appointments.
Right.
Yeah, she calls them divine appointments.
Well, it's like we all get on the same radio station at the same time. It's like we're all like, you know, the sound of static, we don't like that, and maybe we don't like certain music, but all of a sudden we're all tuning in to mm-hmm. the same station. And something happens with that vibration, and I know it's the vibration of the highest love of all, whether that's the earth or each other or spirit or source, that when you have that much love, it sends out a huge call. And those that can listen, answer. So, standing in front of that portrait, I'm sure.
Well, even, you know, when I found the ring a year after he died, I thought, well, where did this come from? I just put it away. Didn't think anything more about it, and then all of a sudden, you know, there it is, you know, like 5 years later.
Have you worn it?
No. Oh, no. Oh, it's huge. It's a man's ring.
Right.
And he was a 33rd degree Mason.
Right.
And really, you know, built into his masonry. And, of course, you know, I was never to ask questions about his meeting.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have told you anyway.
No.
Could I interrupt here a bit?
Yeah, sure.
This is Amy. And several years ago, I was teaching a psychic development class. And I went home with one of the students who wanted to introduce me to her family. And to make a very long story short, her husband, who was Mason, decided that he was going to do the test thing with me. And he came back from another room and put something into my hand and closed my hand over it. And the reason that I'm bringing this up is because he was a 33rd degree. And that ring was to be passed only in a life-threatening emergency. And whoever it was, that the vow that is taken at the time that that ring is passed, that vow came through me, word for word, and scared the heck out of him and scared the heck out of his family as well, because they had no idea that he was that high up.
So do you think that this ring holds some kind of vow?
Yeah, I do.
You think they did some kind of ceremony with this ring?
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah, of course they did.
It never occurred to me. Oh, my goodness.
I held it.
May I just have a clarifying question? What is this?
I'm sorry. Say that again. I missed it.
You said,
What is the test? It's fairly typical when somebody meets me or when they, the test is, are you really psychic or are you making this stuff up kind of deal. And I've been on a couple of psychic lines, and the test is, it's not often. People many times will just trust that somebody is as intuitive as they say that they are. But this man didn't have that style of trust. So when he passed me the ring, I'm not going to say that there was a glint in his eye about, yeah, she's not going to pick up anything. But the shock on his face afterwards was well worth it. Because the vow actually was word for word. What came through me was very, and the way that it began, to be perfectly honest, was some being somewhere acknowledged right off the top that this was not my past, but since I honor past, I had been given, they had decided to work through me. And they need him a new one for having handed that off. They pretty well did.
Do these rings have stones in them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not just diamonds sometimes. I don't remember because I never looked at that ring. I only held it. And then because of what the vow was, I passed it very, very quickly back to him when it was done. So I don't even remember looking at it.
Because it's a very secret vow when you get to that level of, they take a vow not to, to allow anyone to even know about the vow.
Right.
And that's why I asked you if you wore it or if you held it once a day, because I think if it was left for you, that it was probably left for a reason.
Right, I would say the same thing, Beverly, but I would be very, very, very cautious in wearing that.
Well, yeah, of course. And there was a man right after my dad died that asked if he could buy the ring, and I said no.
Yeah, don't.
That it was lost.
Yeah, no.
It was
right.
Lost.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
It isn't for anyone that hasn't gone through that level of training.
Yeah.
That carries a very specific frequency and a vibration to it.
Yeah.
And the vow is, well, the ring that I held, the vow was to only pass that ring in a life-threatening emergency, and it was to go from one Mason to another.
I had the feeling today, before I just walking around thinking about it, I kept thinking about Tebow, and you know he's very into, you know, the demolays and all that, and I'm thinking, I wonder if this is to go to him. I wonder if this is to go to him. I think probably what I'll do is I'll send this to the ESPN and have that pass it on to him, and we'll see what his reaction is.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. But it just occurred to me, you know, and then I found out what his birthday was today. Ariel sent it to me, and I went, here's an interesting star child.
Okay.
So I'll just kind of, you know what, I'm in a navigation phase now. You know, it's like, okay. Typed it up yesterday. Ariel edited it. I printed it out. You know, I talked about it.
You could always go back to that picture. Is your dad's picture the one you spoke of close to where you live?
Portrait? Oh, yes,
the portrait.
It's down at the courthouse, yeah.
Yeah. I would just go stand there and say, okay, it's your ring. Where do you want it to go to?
Huh.
And see what... It's his ring. I mean,
yes.
In the Masonic Lodge, they're made for the person. And the person can even pick out the stones. So it's his. And he may just say, I want you to keep it. All right. And with your intuitiveness, I think that you would get the message pretty loud and clear.
And it's a very unusual ring. I've never seen one like it.
Can I say something?
It's platinum, and it's got black onyx engraved. It's got symbols engraved on it around, it's about a 2-carat diamond.
Mm.
And
yeah.
It's very unusual.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hello? So can I say something really quickly?
Yeah.
With Mercury in retrograde, I would hold off to doing anything with that ring until it clears.
Yeah! But you could go ask, but do nothing.
But that's a communication, and you're in prime trickster frequency with this retrograde. And given that that ring is onyx, platinum, and diamonds, it sounds like a form of a protection.
Yeah.
So I would wait until after the retrograde before I did anything with that ring.
Yeah.
So you don't get tricked into doing the wrong thing accidentally by trying to do the right thing.
That's true. And with this cold snap coming, I won't be leaving the house probably for 5 or 6 days. So that'll be by then that could be direct. You know?
There may be a protection, and that vow that was taken on that ring was to pass to you in the protection.
And I have to tell you that the society itself is very protective. I mean, I have books that I had to sign papers that when I die, the books cannot go any place else except back to society.
Really? Really?
Yeah. So they're pretty, they're very protective.
And if he was 30, you said he was a 33rd degree?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he was a judge?
And he was what?
And he was a judge?
Yeah.
That ring was probably to stay with you.
That's what I'm getting.
Yeah. I would
because
say
of the way it was designed and who you are and the frequencies you carry.
Yeah.
I knew a lot about what was going on outside and in the higher realms. So I'm pretty sure that ring was lost, and he wouldn't have cared too much about that ring getting lost if it was not supposed to go to you.
Well, for
and you found it. It came back to you.
It came to everywhere, you know.
Right.
He probably came to you.
And given where we are right now with the phase of things going on, the synchronicity of when you find it, is right when things are coming to a head and it's taking off and there are so many other things going on that she would find a major protection.
Yeah, that's true.
Synchronicity? Yeah, synchronicity, yeah. You find this ring right about the time of a retrograde when things are taking off at the beginning of a new year after
at
a lunar eclipse.
At the end of the Teton meetings, right?
Right.
Which I want
to
know.
So I would guess that the frequencies were matched. When you went and saw that portrait, you told them you were ready because you're about to go into a whole other phase of things. And given what that ring is made of and how it was designed and the timing of everything, I don't think it's supposed to go to anyone else.
Yep.
And that is what I think maybe you are being tricked into giving away something that is very, very valuable to your frequency.
I see. Okay. I got it.
And even if you don't wear it, even if you just hold it and see if you can feel the energy of the ring and put it in a box or in a sacred space, I would definitely do that.
And Lavender, the little bit that I know about your background, mm-hmm. and given the fact that the topic of conversation tonight is synchronicity, you were recognized even prior to coming in.
Right.
That would have been part of your inheritance. People, individuals, beings that are recognized by the universe in a big way have a road already set for them.
Mm-hmm, true.
And what it is that I know about you certainly conforms to that.
Mm-hmm.
And this, because it disappeared with him, but reappeared with you,
but
that's a big jump right there.
I'll tell you, the big jump for me was, see, I believe that when a person is born and when they die, there are two times when they can come back and visit. It's on their birthday and on their death day. And I believe this for a very long, there's a 3-day window, even if they're even in another body, if they're incarnate, there's something about their spirit that has the rites of passage to come back and visit, okay? So on the anniversary of his death, 1 year later, it's when the ring shows up in the bedroom.
Right.
Which tells me that for whoever he was playing with in the ether said, I want the ring back to her.
Right.
And so nobody knows where it was.
I wouldn't be jumping out to go and give it away.
No.
Okay. Got that.
Oh, good.
I'd like to move this along. As you mentioned, this is the week of the Teton meetings, and I think a little conversation about that would be appropriate.
Okay, the Teton meetings have been going on since midnight of January 1. However, you know, they started on the 31st. You know, they start, when Cairo, Egypt wakes up the day before, it's when I start really feeling it. Well, it always hits me on the 31st. So, the few things that I wanted to bring up that I could share, there's a lot of things that are happening in the meetings. Some things I can't share, but the things I can share is about the technologies on the planet and how they're disrupting. What's happening is that some of the cell phone towers and some of the other technologies that have turned loose with HARP and the different things they've got going on are activating bloodlines ahead of their schedule. In other words, if someone is supposed to die 10 years from now, they could die 6 months from now. Or if a person has an assignment that's going to be monumental 10 years from now, it could happen 2 weeks from now. And everything is jumped. All the schedules in the bloodlines that they're running, the timing of bloodlines is getting scrambled and screwed up. And some people will not be able to handle it and will end up mental cases a lot more. Antidepressants will be issued. Doctors are not going to know what to do with this because people will just be, talking to the walls and divorcing. There's going to be a lot of divorces, a lot of anger towards women. Women are going to be really attacked during this time because the battle between men and women has been accelerated. And Alicia, you mentioned that earlier to me about what's happening with the men and the women. Everything has been accelerated faster, more so than people can handle in consciousness. So with this double blue moon that we just had, and then these Teton meetings, we've got one more night of these meetings. Well, actually two more nights. And I'm anxious to see what people have to say next Wednesday, because the people on this call, I'm sure, will all be taken to the meetings without a doubt.
Well, what I found in I just had my knee replaced, and I met Amy, and I'm a near-death experiencer at the age of 12, and have had many experiences since then. And what I can tell you is that there is a grid, the grid around the planet. There are lights that are being put on, and there are the people holding a level of consciousness that can bring others to them. On the same hand, there are so many people that are entranced with the psychic realm being totally in disarray of what you're talking about. People that have really kind of depended on that guidance coming from that realm, most of my friends right now are completely what you're talking about. They have no past right now.
Well,
they're
I call them, they go into Krispy Kreme. They're burned. They're just burned.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always had imagined that the 2012 thing was really a mental, emotional testing ground of who could hold the energy that was about to uplift the planet and not destroy it. But if there was enough of us to hold that amount of energy or that frequency without talking to the walls, as you said.
Right. Yeah. And people that have enough, if their soul can remember long enough to go, wait a minute, this is just temporary, this isn't, you know, I'm not going to the doctor over this because they'll put me on an antidepressant and I'll be gone. You know?
Yeah.
So, I think that starseed, though, I think that starseed are going to handle this better than the earthlings will. I really do. And the reason
I think that they've got a better capacity built in.
That's right.
They're closer in to the knowledge that's coming in from the cosmos.
Right.
The old programming, it's like the keys are sour now on
right.
the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing about the star seeds is that they're in it for the long run. They're not in this for a little bit, you can't be a little bit pregnant. They're in this from the beginning to the end, whatever that may look at like, and whether it's the end of consciousness or just a shift. They're not here just for, you know, the easy times. They've committed to all of it. And I think commitment is the strongest word, that we're here to hold that frequency and to be as Amy says, to be a lighthouse.
And let's talk about what happened in November on K8 in lineup. We had millions of walk-ins come to the planet from the Pleiades in November. Now, what do you think is going to happen after this T-Time meeting when we all get their assignments? This is a good thing.
Right.
There's going to be such an elevation of integrity and, you know, and purpose. I mean, you know, the other day I read something that my friend Jim Graypet wrote, and at some point I'd like for him to be a guest on our show, and he made a statement saying, you know, why should we get into polarity with these people and try to show them that they are of the wave? Why don't we just build a new matrix of something that works better? You know, if we just have a better plan, we don't have to show them what they're doing wrong. We'll just build something so glorious that everybody will want to come and be a part of it.
Exactly. That's it.
Whole different energetic.
Yep.
And I read it and went, wow, that is right on. Because as long as you're in polarity, you're just going to go ping pong, until you're just ping ponged out. And no one wins.
No.
But if you build something,
the
world will come, right?
Well, I'd like to ask a question. This is Ariel.
Okay.
When when synchronicity happens to us individually, can't it come from any dimension?
Yes. It can come from astral. It can come from it can come from shifts. It can come from divas, the diva kingdoms, crystals, stones, you know. There's so many different layers. They, you know, it can come from anywhere. Once your soul sends the frequency out, then it just starts lining up.
And the most important thing is to pay attention.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Just pay attention.
Yeah.
And I would like to take a quick poll from people on the call just to see what kind of synchronicity everyone is experiencing, whether it's numbers, names, events. Is this happening for everybody on the call? Can everybody really relate to this?
Mm-hmm.
I can. Definitely.
Yes.
Well, I know it's sometimes I just start giggling because it comes so quick, you know, on it 3 or 4 times a day. And when it's heavier, even, you know, more and more, it just feels good. You just know that something is right, something is in alignment.
Well, I notice more. Synchronicity has always been happening, but I feel more movement on a consciousness level. I met Bill Nelson over in Princeton. He's actually been measuring consciousness for 12 years, if you can believe it. And, you know, I really believe we're almost at the apex of, how can I say this? What John, I think, was explaining about whether we're in Mercury retrograde or if it's the time between 2010 and 2012, whether it's going to be a lot of tricking us into different aspects that we really either have done already, which is synchronistic, you can keep in the same pattern over and over, or getting out of the pattern. Getting out of the matrix completely and seeing if you can see things and hear things that getting out of the realm of fear-based practices and seeing if we can work together as a unit to see if we can actually practice this in our daily life where we are able to match up on a vibrational level. Because, you know, we all get gut level feelings. We all kind of, we have all the information within us. It's just whether we have the courage to walk through with that.
In spite of everything that happens on a daily basis in the third dimension.
Yeah. I mean, the third dimension right now is so fear-based. I mean, it's totally ridiculous to even turn on your TV set or listen to anybody speaking about what they think is going to happen or what this is going to look like. And I refuse to, I honor it. I honor the people that are there, but I'm not, so I can't act like I am.
You know, I've been noticing lately, this week, I'll be walking through the room and the TV's on, and I'll say a word, and then the word will happen off the TV, whatever word it was I just said. It's like an echo in the room, and I'm going,
yeah.
How'd they know I said that? And it's just a word. It's one word. It's not a phrase. It'll just be a word, like I'll say, well, that was being erased. And then the voice will say, and the erased part was.
Well, I mean, Amy, what is your version of echoes?
Well, it's really interesting because when I'm thinking about synchronicity, I have to say that the loudest styles of synchronicity that I am aware of are when I'm stepping off the path. okay? You know, there will be something there that says, no, 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 no. This is not the best step for you. And it almost shoves me right back on. And, you know, to be real honest, I've taken a couple of years and done the do with my family and when my daughter got married. And essentially, everything that was synchronistic in my life stopped. And I have to say, as much as I love them, I also understand that that was not the path that I was supposed to be traveling at this point in time. Coming, opening that up again, moving away from that back in October, resulted in probably three of the best months that I've had in years, literally, energetically, and people calling me now. So, you know, my signals, I guess, are more when it's not going to work because I've taken a step off, because the rest of the time it's just a flow for me. And I acknowledge that, too. You know, I'm guided, I'm directed, I'm pointed. Tickets drop into my lap. People show up in my field. I get phone calls. I get whatever, you know, articles written or whatever it is. Or people come to me and say, how can I help you? How can I make this work? And that I almost take for granted, actually. It's when I've stepped off the path that the universe gets a little on the loud side for me. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just kind of, I'm coming back into synchronicity rather than having been out of it for, you know, a couple of years, actually.
Wow, that happens with me, too. Only I get hot.
Yeah.
Step off of my path, it's like I'm standing in a laser.
Ah, see, I feel like I'm standing in a laser most of the time, so that was...
When I think I'm going to get ready to do something, I say, well, maybe I should go and do this, and I'll get up to go do it, and all of a sudden, it's like I become a blasting furnace. And then
right.
I'm like, okay, well, maybe not, and then I don't, and then everything cools right back down. I'm like, no,
really?
Okay.
Oh, isn't that cool?
I don't know.
For me, it feels like... I don't know. Most of the time, because of the work that it is that I do, it feels like I'm standing inside of the center point of a spotlight anyway most of the time. So that's what it feels like. That's a constant for me. So I can't go along with that one. Congratulations, though, by the way. But, you know, that I don't have that kind of a symbol. I just get clanged at when something's...
Well, if I'm infusing something or I'm working with something, well, I naturally heat up, but it's hard to explain because it's a different kind of heat.
Uh-huh.
It's the difference between a warm breeze when you're doing the work you're supposed to be doing and stepping on hot coals saying, oh, where the hell did that come from?
Oh, I see.
kind of thing.
Well, it's really interesting. There's a book that I had read because I love science fiction and, you know, that new style of paranormal science fiction romance stuff, junk that's out there. And there's one title of a book that's called Running Hot. And it's about actually a psychic that runs all the time that way. Not hot physically, but hot psychically. And that's the space that I lived in for, a couple of years, actually. And I literally fried most of my synaptic bridging processes. I've had medicine people come to me and healers and all kinds of people saying, oh, my God, what did you do? Because when they go to touch me, everything is blown wide open. And I'm sure that Lavender and Mary Beth know both of that. I don't know enough of you to make comparisons, but both of them know what that feels like. So, you know, running hot... And so when stuff stops is the pay attention tone for me.
Hmm.
And sometimes I don't care either. So.
Each of us are tuned in with a different language, a different set of symbols. But it's good. Does anyone else have a comment about how their synchronicity works for them?
We haven't heard from John. John, where are you? You still there? John, star 6 and talk to us.
I am talking to you.
Okay.
Can Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Tell us what do you feel about synchronization, what you've been hearing?
Well, I know about synchronization, but it doesn't seem to affect me too much.
You notice it and it doesn't affect you, or you don't notice it?
I don't really notice it too much.
Not numbers? Recurring numbers?
The only thing that I have lately is I can tell you when it's the full moon and not look at it.
Well, that's being a receptive and aware on another level.
Mm-hmm. But as far as what you're talking about with numbers and things going on, not really.
You never turn on the radio and it's the song that you were just thinking about?
No.
No. Well, then you don't get driven crazy too much, do you?
Oh, yes, I do.
You do?
Every time we have the full moon.
So, John, what do you think? You know me pretty well, but what do you think the message was about the ring and my dad and the portrait and Tim Tebow and all that? What do you think?
That's an interesting question. That one could go either way. Either give it away or keep it.
Yeah.
I would meditate on that one for a while.
Yeah, I think I'll sit on it for a while and see where it goes.
I definitely wouldn't do anything during this retrograde Mercury.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And, you know, with all this new Masonic stuff going on with the Dan Brown book and the Masons, you know, being revealed like they've never been revealed before,
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of stuff's going on now.
Yeah, well, I said people are paying attention.
Yeah.
Or they just take the movie and say, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, it seems that the secret societies, whatever name you want to put on them, don't have the luxury of having the secrecy anymore.
The veils are getting ripped off. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
do want to give credit to the women consciousness on the planet that are firing the secrets.
Jesus.
That Mother Earth is like just said, okay, we've had enough of this.
I wanted to mention that, again, Jesse Ventura, of course, is the brave warrior now with his conspiracy theory program on True TV on Wednesday night. And tonight's program is going to be on mind control and trained assassins. So if you have a cable television that has True TV, it will be on tonight. Last week was the Bilderbergers. The first one was on HARP. I mean, he is just ripping the lid off of everything. It's the most remarkable show. I can't believe. He must have put them all in the can at once and released them. I just can't believe that he did it any other way. Have any of you seen this show that I'm talking about, Conspiracy Theories?
I have. I watched the videos on HARP. I found out through Fios that when I typed in the show's name, all of the past shows that have already been seen come up.
Oh, really?
So I've got them all on Fios, and I went and I just clicked record the whole series now, so I can go back and watch any one of those.
Oh, great.
Well, that's a good idea.
Great.
So if you can get Fios, get it.
Yeah, well, I know tonight is going to be the one I've been waiting for, because it's mind control, and he'll talk about implants and mind control and what the agenda is, and or is it going to be something? Yeah.
Speaking of agenda, does anyone know what's going on with HARP?
Well, they turn it up and send it to the Air Force bases. The Air Force bases sends it to the cell phone towers. The cell phone towers sends it to the people.
Right.
That's their delivery system.
Yeah, I mean, lately.
Well, they've been, well, of course, they run them, you know, about every 10 days. So.
Okay, that was my question, every 10 days, they've been spraying the living bejesus out of us here.
Yeah, well, that's
And I'm wondering how that's connected. I know it's connected, I just don't know exactly how it's connected.
Yeah. Well, there's something that they spray in the air that when they turn on HARP, it activates a certain metal that's in the air.
Okay, well, whatever they're doing now, just for you guys, FYI, they've changed their formula because I've got plants dying in my backyard.
Oh, goodness.
Where are you?
I'm in Long Beach.
Okay.
I mean, they've been night and day, and I literally have, I'm watching, it's all of my plants dying the same way with these heavy brown leaves all of a sudden out of nowhere since they started this spring. So, just so you know, it seems like they may have changed their formula.
Well, you know, Long Beach didn't want to take their shots.
Well, no, we refused, and we have a surplus over here.
See, you refuse to take your shots, so they're spraying you.
We also are pushing the cell phone legislation.
Well, see,
here, which means what?
Uh-huh, they're spraying that heavy spraying. It means, okay, you people will just make you sick.
Well, before the spraying that they had did not bother me, but I'm saying this to let you guys know now. My eyes are burning and my throat is burning. My plants are dying. So whatever they've done, they've changed the formula.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, because before, I know it wasn't bothering most of us starseeds. Now, this what they're spraying here is pretty much like an aerosol irritant.
Okay.
So...
There
you have that. I'm sorry. I just had to warn you guys when I had somebody on the phone.
What about the cold snap's going to do to all this?
Well, we're not allowed to have a cold snap because they heat up the ionosphere and all the moisture's gone, so whatever cloud system develops is gone.
Huh.
So we're in a drought, and we have been in a drought.
Yeah, I called in a special with Arnold.
We get very little rain, and we get very little moisture in the air anymore. So they are really pretty much trying to, I guess, turn this into a desert. I don't know what their agenda is. Maybe somebody owns all the water aquifers or something. I don't know. But we're getting clobbered here.
What would, just opening up the floor for a minute, what subject matters would you like to have discussed in the next few weeks? Things that you would really want to talk about or share or things that are on your mind? Or if you don't know now, you can email us and just give it some thought and say, you know, how about having a discussion on, you know, whatever topic comes to you.
You can email us either one, Lavendar or Ariel at starseedhotline.com. And go on to starseedhotline.ning.com and contact either of us there. And if you come up with an idea for a topic that you're interested in that you would like to request, there's also on starseedhotline.com on the headline news page, there's a list of topics that we have planned, and if you would like to pick one of those, to be sooner rather than later, you can feel free to do that as well.
I just had a suggestion for the woman that's getting sprayed in South California. If you can possibly imagine when you go into meditation to rise your whole body above what's going on in the spraying effect, and but in your vibrational rate would reach a point of not being affected, nor your plants. Actually doing some kind of meditation to get to that level and then going out and walking among your plants. Because it really is you affecting all of it. So if you can maybe try to, I hate to say bring down or rise above, but kind of both of that, and go on the radio station that brings you the most love and happiness, and then just instead of focusing on what they're doing, focusing on what you can do to bring your body into
one of the things that I've been working on. On it. I don't know if it's working or not, because I've kept a headache for the last 2 days. And
I wouldn't doubt yourself. I would keep saying it is working, and I'm doing it is working, and I'm doing all I can, and it is working. And keep on that mode, and not take two steps back to see if it is, or checking in, just having complete faith that the energy that you're channeling for yourself is changing the atmosphere in your home, and then walk among your plants.
Yeah, laser it.
Yeah.
Laser it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speak to the earth.
I can laser it. I'll just stop doubting myself because I've been meditating like it's just trying to rise above it, shift my vibration. And what for me, one of the things I know is when my vibration rises up, I get slightly depressed and I have a headache for a while until the rest of me catches up.
Yeah.
So
it will catch up.
It probably is working, and I'm just doubting myself.
Doubts like. I think for the group, I think that's a really good discussion on how to keep yourself balanced and in harmony with the universe during a shifting time.
Well, may I break in here for a bit? There was something that I was reading this afternoon, actually, in a book by Michelle Smallwright, and she's the one that has created the garden called Paralandra. You can look at it on the internet. You can dig it up. And in the last part of the book, it had to do with calling Gaia into balance and harmony. And your property, your land, and yourself, we're all made up of the elements of Earth and what the Earth is sharing. And the sentient knowledge of the planet is attuned to the higher frequencies of what it is that's coming into us now. And the planet itself, in being a conscious being of light, can assist the process of rebalancing and bringing harmony into your space. So my suggestion would be to call to the planet to bring harmony and balance in the new level of who it is that we are. And the planet understands what it is that's going on and can certainly override virtually everything that there is.
You know, Lisa, you work with that violet flame like I've never seen anybody work with it. So, that incense that you make, wow, I can't wait for it to arrive here. I'm holding on to my last cone right now. But there's something about the way you make your salt and your incense and the way you put violet in things, I'm sure that your light's so bright that you are attracting, a lot. They're watching you very closely. You're so attractive.
Well, when the planes are flying directly over my house with their dispersal units and helicopters fly, and I can kind of wave guys in the helicopters. Yeah.
Oh, meet your friend.
Say that again?
They're all working for the 401k.
Meet your friendly about it, and that's the greatest part of it, is that when you take this so seriously and so whatever, just smile and wave.
The last time the planes were flying so low, you could see the dispersal units. I actually sent a love wash straight into the cabin and all throughout
there
the
day.
You know, within 5 seconds, they stopped the dispersal unit?
I believe
good
it.
Girl. I was like, oh, my gosh, it worked.
Good girl. Good girl. I love that.
You need more of that.
I don't want them flying any lower. I don't want them flying any lower. Go get away from my house.
Well, Arielle, we've been on here about an hour and a half.
I'm sorry.
It was a great. I'm so thankful that I came on tonight. Thank you so much. It was wonderful to meet you all.
We enjoyed having you, Mary Beth. We want you to come back. So everybody come back next
time. I definitely will.
Thank everybody for all your advice and your love for helping me deal with these. That they're spraying. And thank you, Ariel, and thank you, Labrador, for your kind words.
Thank you. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.